The following presentation was recorded live at the Spring Energy event. To hear other presentations or information about attending a future conference, please visit springenergyevent.com.
This is my friend that I met in Texas, and Dr. Lori Eanes does an awful lot of things, and I think you're going to hear a lot more about her as her new book comes out and she becomes more and more known on the radar. But when I met her, I already knew from her energy that this was somebody special. I just saw her in my room and I went, oh, hi. The kind of frequency match that you get from someone, or at least if you're looking for it. And so I don't know anything else to say about it except that was just a great match, and her sprite-like energy of just can-do, power, positive light, just boing, came right to me. And so I thought, I've got to not only be better friends with this person, but I need to bring this person into our community. Even though she wasn't a tapper, so to speak, she knows very well how to tap and incorporates that and uses it along with her other tools. But Dr. Lori went the traditional route and got trained with all the stuff you see on TV and more. Sleepless nights, years of service and indenture to mindless department heads, no doubt. And she survived it. But what is the interesting part of this, a doctor that knows about tapping? It's that she has been able to consistently look at this with a bigger picture and bring this together and look at, here's what we've got going on, all these swirling different worlds, and how do they interconnect? How do they not interconnect? And so I asked her to come and share with us, because this room has an awful lot of holistic-oriented people, energy practitioners, energy psychology, natural world advocates. And here we are in this time and place of big medicine, of big pharma, of big oligopoly-type hospital groups. How do they get on? How do we navigate that? How do we square it? How can we think about this? So I'm very proud to introduce Lori to you, and I'm very grateful that she took time out of her very busy schedule to come and talk about this dance, because we believe it is a dance, and we believe you can dance too. Dr. Lori Eanes.
You're up, Jean. Sometimes we don't have the right verse or the right affirmation that comes to us, but the message can be in the music, and it can be enough to reach our soul and elevate our spirit. And so with that, I come to you present with the intention of being present and sharing all of who I am, signed, sealed, and delivered. And so I'd like to thank John D. for the invitation. And what I've heard here already, most of which resonates on some level for all of us. And that's why we all showed up. So with that, I'd like to say, your authentic, loving presence continues to inspire me. So, as a practicing physician of 18 years, I've had the honor of treating tens of thousands of patients, from migrant farm workers to yacht enthusiasts in the Caribbean. And the one thing that rings true for all, and for all of us here, is that we want the same. And that's a meaningful life for ourselves and our families, and to wake up each day feeling well. That's what everyone wants. You know, but in our global society, the access that we now have, I'm seeing more and more people feeling, as John D. mentioned last night, disconnected, separated, isolated. And I think a big part of that is because we look around the room or wherever we may be, and we feel like no one knows me. No one understands me. I'm not like them. They're not like me. And so we have this disconnect. And a part of the disconnect is not just with the people around us, it's with ourselves. Because we don't believe that your background is my background. Your experiences are my experiences. Your challenges are my challenges. But I'm here to tell you, after treating thousands of people, whatever your challenge or your fears or your disconnect may be, the feelings that it evokes, the feelings that challenges evoke, are exactly the same in all of us. And so whether I'm in the ER attempting to save a life, imagine the fear and anxiety that can bring, or whether you're challenged by a family situation, a loss, a death, a divorce, that anxiety, that fear, that frustration, the disappointment is the same for all of us. The circumstances may change, but the feeling remains exactly the same. So when we look at that from that perspective, we understand that we're more alike than we are different. And that's what our society has forgotten, in my opinion. So with that, I say to you, I am you. You are me. You are my strengths. I am your weaknesses. Within us, there is power. The world around us does not get to define us. We get to define the world. And I believe our greatest power is in the power of humanity. And that begins with our health. And health, as you all know from sitting here, does not just mean our physical health. It's our emotional well-being. And that's what this brings about, our emotional well-being. But what we have to decide is, who will we become? Because we know who we are, at least we think we do. But who will we become? Who will I become? Have any of you ever wondered why? Why do we get sick in the first place? Why is it that we get sick? So this question was a burning curiosity for me. Really, I believe, for most of my life. I grew up with women who taught me self-care remedies that were once used by my grandmother. And although I believe most of their concoctions were tested on the children, we survived. In fact, we thrived. But I also saw the challenges, or I should say the contrast, within my family. When I started thinking about why do some get sick and others don't, my mother was rarely sick, worked up until the day she left this earth. My aunt, however, was the sickly one, always in and out of the hospital, some heart condition that, in truth, they never really diagnosed until she was in her 80s. And then they realized, we could just ablate that and she'll be fine. And we were like, what, at 80? And she did well. But throughout her life, once she decided to change her behaviors, lose weight, stop smoking, she actually outlived her 6 brothers and sisters. So not only do our thoughts impact our health, so do our behaviors. And in some ways, that's where we got have gotten off track. So with these childhood experiences and an eagerness, I decided I would have my question answered. Why? Why? Why do some people get sick and others really barely have a sniffle, a muscle ache, a stomach pain, an ankle sprain? Why do we get sick? And so I set out to answer that question. And I did what any eager, naive, unknowing, perhaps even misguided adult would do. I applied to medical school. Okay? And, you know, it was interesting because medical school didn't teach me everything that I wanted to know. What I found out was that, you know, doing that would be against all odds. Because I grew up at a time, I'm a little over 40, that's all I'm claiming. I grew up at a time when girls were taught to believe that they were not good at science or math. I got an amen in the room. Okay? And even though my family, they cheered me on, because of course it was a big accomplishment to get into medical school. But my friends, on the other hand, they knew the holistic approach that I was already living. And they pleaded with me, do not sell out. So I had this one group over here cheering me on, and this other group with protest signs, don't sell out, don't sell out. Because they believed, and some of you in this room believe the same as well, and maybe that's my belief too, is that I was entering an establishment that was focused on profit and not the preventative approach that was really a part of my passion. And so I think you understand that now I'm in a place where I have to do a dance. A dance of what I believe to be true, to be right, to be just, to be fair, against what I'm stepping into and deciding, because it's a decision, we have to decide, what I am going to be a part of. So it's a dance that I have continued to do, and I like to say, at this point in my life, it's a dance that I do well. Because I think when you are a little over 40, that you lose your filters and you just don't really give a damn anymore. Okay? Right? Can I get an amen on that? We do. We just do not care in the same way. So, luckily, I chose an osteopathic college. And I'm a DO. And that made the most sense for me because prior to going to medical school, I became a certified massage therapist. So laying hands on was not a challenge. It was what felt good. It felt right. Here's how I help people to heal, using my hands in some way to feel the release in what people can achieve in their own health and well-being. And interesting enough, the osteopathic colleges, they look for students with life experience. In fact, one of my classmates was a bounty hunter. Who knew, right? I don't know how you transfer those skills into medicine, but perhaps somehow he did. He was able to do that. And so when, you know, I decided to go to school, I chose osteopathy because I thought it was the right, it was the best thing, and I could get the best results in my patient care. So when they were looking for experience, they said, well, what, you know, I mean, you're a little over 40. Well, I graduated a little over 40. And they said, well, what kind of experience? I said, well, I've got 10 years of media experience. I've got 10 years as an advertising executive. And I mean, after all, that's some good experience. I mean, I've had long lunches. I've had lots of nights at the theater. I've had season tickets to all the sporting events. I mean, and for me, that was some good life experience. I was like, well, that's experience. But it wasn't the experience that I needed necessarily for the long nights that turned into long days, that turned into long weeks, and that turned into long years to become a physician. But I think, you know, part of the message in that story is when you have a vision of where you want to be and where you want to go, you stick it. You stick with it. You just keep going at it. You don't let go of the vision, because everyone has asked me, what made you decide midlife to go to medical school? And I said, it was a divine intervention. And they said, well, what did the divine say? I said, it doesn't matter. When the divine calls, you better answer. Okay? And that's what I chose to do. So despite going back to school, getting a post-bac, getting a master's degree, 8 years of medical training, that burning question that I was asking, why do people get sick? They were not able to answer any of that for me. But what I now know through my training, my alternative training, my integrative training, my tapping, my understanding that the physical is not just the physical, it's the metaphysical, it's the emotional, it's the mental, it's how we live our lives in our thought system that now transforms our health. And so when I began to do additional training, because that's who I was from the very beginning, the moment I walked in the door, I realized a couple things. Good health is predicated upon behaviors, as we talked about, your lifestyle, how you choose to live your life. Some of it has to do with, in fact, most of it has to do with your thoughts. And we're learning that in epigenetics, and understanding that we are not just our genes. I don't care how much you paid for them. We are not just our genes, that it is the thought, and I like to say it is the mind that controls the emotions, that controls the body. And the brain is a control tower of where disorder lives within us. So after learning that, I began to realize I must take a different approach. And the one thing out of all of the experiences, because we all have a lot of different diverse and experiences, and you know, and you're trying to figure out how to pull it all together, how to make your life work for you, I say take each one of those experiences and then figure out where can I use all of it, because they all become a part of who we are. So the one thing that I did learn out of all of that was, you're never too old, and it's never too late to change your life and to change your health. And that, if nothing else, if you walk away with nothing else, and I have so much more to say, but if you walk away with nothing else, I really want that to be an inspiration for you. Because I'm hearing that life is just getting started at 50. Can anybody testify to that? Because I'm testifying to that. So, but the problem is, or at least one of the things that I see, is that we spend a lifetime justifying our lives as they are, and justifying our limitations. I can't. I'm too old. Now's not the right time. How about this one? What will other people say? Right? And I call that the clever mind. The clever mind is the part of us that keeps us justifying and accepting those things that do not serve us well. They don't serve the best of who we are. And we continue to justify that. The clever mind, in essence, is our coping strategies. So it's the thing that allows us to stay at a job that doesn't allow our greatest gifts to shine. The clever mind keeps us in relationships that give us more pain than pleasure. The clever mind is that which has us acting out behaviors that make us sick and keep us sick. When I think of the word sick, if you're a little over 40, sick means awful. But if you're under 30, sick means awesome. If you ever heard of our young people talking about, well, that's sick. Okay, right? It's funny how things change. But when we continue to justify our clever mind, it does not serve us well. And what I want is for you to step into your creative mind. The creative mind is the place where we can't see what we can be. I'm just going to say that again, because that seems to make sense for me. We can't always see that which we are capable of being in the moment, but we can create a vision for ourselves, an idea, a thought, I don't know, just for kicks and giggles, just because. And so that's where I like to take people into their creative mind, using all the tools that I have come up with along the way. You know, let's just imagine the possibilities when we look at where we want to go with our lives. So that's where our endless potential lies. That's where, you know, our unlimited creativity lies. And that's where we get to accept and express our most loving and creative selves. Because otherwise we remain stuck in a place of suppression, oppression, repression, and not allowing all of our greatness to shine. So I love tapping, and I love the work that you do, because when we start talking about allowing our greatness to shine, then, how does this actually even work? You know, I've done this so many times, and I don't know how it even works, but it's working. And that's really all that matters to me. I don't know how, when my grandmothers and my aunts knew to give us spearmint tea and lemon balm for a stomachache, that it worked. I didn't know how that worked, but they did it, and it worked. And so, you know, I also like to say, in what we gather along the way, never dismiss the wisdom that is in our past, our ancestry, our history. The wisdom, pull upon that, because we become so reliant and dependent upon the authority. Who is that? The authority to tell us. And that's what I see when many people come into my office. They are waiting for the answer, when in truth, the answer lies within you. And I continue to redirect the questioning so that they begin to see that, oh, I have the answer. So when we start looking at our greatness and how we can bring that into the forefront, one of the things that I know that I believe tapping does is it helps to deactivate the nervous system. The nervous system of stress and distress that we keep ourselves in all the time with this mind of ours that's controlling the body. So, simple things. And my whole approach when I deal with patients, in life, in everything now, simple is better. So I use a couple of things. How do we deactivate the nervous system? How about just breathe? Can we just do that for starters? You know, deep belly breaths. There's lots of different breathing techniques that you can do, but it ain't this. That's not the one, okay? We want to go slow, deep breaths. What does that do? It slows down the heart rate. It dilates the blood vessels, okay? And we also, you know, want to quiet the mind. I call that, and we all call that, meditation. Because what meditation does is it takes us out of that high beta state, brainwave state, and now drops us down into the alpha and the theta, which is where our creative selves lie. So we want to continue to practice practice, it does not happen just by saying, I think I'll meditate. We actually have to create a practice that we do on a routine basis, and that's how we train the brain. I'm going to use an example here. Dr. Joe Dispenza, I have trained with him over the last 4 years and been on his support team. And he uses an example, and I'm going to throw it up. It's like a puppy brain. You know, your brain, when you take that puppy to the curb and it wants to run across traffic, you pull it back and you say, stay. And the next day it does the same thing and you pull it back and it says, stay. And by the third or fourth or fifth time, however many times it takes, soon the puppy gets to the... and it stays. And that's how our brains work. We have to continue to train the brain we want it to do. Otherwise, it gets out of control and the body takes over. And that's when we have disorder that leads to disease. And so when we begin to think about how we train the brain, the breathing, meditation, movement, we must move. A flexible body means a flexible mind. And movement, what does it do? It increases our endorphins. It makes us feel good. It puts us in a great space. So whether that's, you know, if you're a cardio person, get out and run. If you're a yoga person, well, come on, let's get your leg up. Let's do it. Okay? And so you have to do some movement. So on your tables, I have some cards. And here's a little trick that I do with my brain. So I always say, do as the doctor does. So you can pass those over. I always say, do as the doctor does. When you're in a state of stress and distress and discomfort and discord and, you know, and you can't get out of that space because it's causing you some discomfort, then I say to myself, who will I be when I'm in my greatness? So it doesn't matter what's ahead of me at the job. It doesn't matter what he or she said as I'm on my way out the house in the morning. It doesn't matter what your kids had the audacity to do. Who will I be in my greatness? Your brain is like a search engine. And what it will do is it will take your brain out of that space of distress, discomfort, discord, and disorder. Now, you may not come up with the answer of who you'll be in your greatness, because I haven't really figured that out either. But what it does, it distracts your mind, and it now puts you in a different space. These are brain tricks that you can use when you're in that funky place. You ask yourself, who will I be in my greatness? What will I have? What will I be doing? Okay? And who will I be inviting to the celebration of my greatness? It's a brain trick. It will take you out of anxiety. It will take you out of fear. It will. Now, obviously, if there's physical fear present, you might want to run. But it will take you out of that space. So I just invite you. I use these cards. I invite you to imagine. And one of my lists is to impact the lives of others so that they, you all, can continue to live a life of great health. That's on my list. That's who I want to be. That's what I want to give. That's how I want to serve. Of course, I know you got money on the list. Everybody puts it on the list. You know, but for me, the wealth is about having excess to share with others. I eat every day. I have a roof. I'm comfortable enough. But to have enough to share is always what I want for my life. And also, you know, if we want to take it a step further, okay, all right, let's dare to dream. You know, for me, I already live in the mountains. To live in the majesty of the mountains and also to have the best of both worlds in the tranquility of the sea. To have both, okay? We might get there, we don't know, but we can imagine the possibilities. And so I want you to create that list for yourself. And when you find yourself in a funky space and you can't tap on the highway, although I've seen people doing this, you can stop. And ask yourself the question. Just stop right there. When you're in that space that It's fear and disorder and discord and distress. Stop right there and ask yourself, who will I be in my greatness? And so that's what I most want for anyone for as long as I'm in this lifetime. So at my retreats, I periodically will do a one-to-one wellness retreat. That's what we do. We break through our fears and we dance with our deepest desires. That's how we do it. We make it easy, we make it simple, we make it fun. Fun, because if it ain't fun, it ain't worth doing. That's one of my mottos that I live by. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing. So you get to decide, who will you become? So when we change our lives, we change our health. And there's a quote, the secret to change is to focus your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. And that's what I had to decide to do. I could have stepped into that medical environment and just butted heads every day, but I said, I'll show you. I'm going to do something different with this. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that's nice. Okay, yeah, I'll take that test. Okay, I'll learn that. I'll learn to do that. But in my heart and in my spirit, I knew that I was going to be teaching others another way to transform their health. And yes, I guess doctors are in demand now, but I work in 9 clinics in 2 states, and they just keep calling me back. They don't even know why. Because when patients walk out, they're like, wait, I never had an experience like that. And she told me exactly what I had been thinking all along about the system, but I was too afraid to speak up. So one of the things that I do challenge in the book that I'm writing, and it's based on simple solutions to improving your health with less medications. That's a long title, so we're going to shorten that down. But that's the focus of that. And so I give you simple solutions. What to ask your doctor? And we're talking at lunch, and so someone said, I can't find a doctor who really hears me or really listens to me because, you know, their approach is not my approach, and it's not a holistic approach. And I said, here's one of the things that I say in the book. When you go to a physician, you want to ask, so doctor, what do you do? What's your personal regimen for your health and well-being? And if they don't have an answer, you say, have a nice day. Because if that's your approach and if that's what you want, don't settle for anything less than that. Oh, yeah, they're going to be a little shocked when you walk in the door with that question. I promise you, they will. But you deserve nothing less. Because here's what I know. You have, in healthcare, you have been paying for more of what you don't want and getting less of what you need. And you have to be the prescription for change that changes that. We're coming along slowly, but I promise you, if you keep asking the right questions, they will deliver. They will have to deliver something different than what you've been getting. So, you know, I reveal that doctors are experts at disease. And we have some amazing therapies that we've never embarked upon before. And I like to tell you that we are not the chemist, we are not the developer, we are not the pharmaceutical industry. We're only told, or I should say, we're only sold what you're told. That's just how it is. We do not develop any of it. We get information that comes to us that says, do this, 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 and this. So we're sold that information, and then you're told. And that's how the system work. So I reveal an inside look. I reveal the drape. I uncover it in the book and talk about what's behind the scenes in healthcare. I've been there 18 years. I've seen it. I've been the quiet observer. Doing that, are you? Not going to work for me. So when we look at things that you need to know, that's one of them. What to ask. how to navigate this evolving healthcare system, because it is changing, and it's going to look different than it has in the past. But what I say to that is, you know what? You don't have to focus your energy on that. Just get healthy. And then you won't need the system as much, if at all. The third thing that I do is I show you simple solutions that you can put in place using the healing power of food. So we have a whole section, you know, why should I be snacking on celery when I'm stressed? Well, celery has a component in it that lowers blood pressure and calms the mind. It just does. So foods that we can begin to incorporate into our diet. Mindful eating, you know. How do I now not be in front of a computer and the TV and phone, everything going at one time, trying to eat? I don't even like lunch meetings because I prefer to focus on my food. But the other thing is, you know, understanding that our everyday joys, whether it's something you've seen in the supermarket, I'm in the airports all the time, and there's some funny things happening up in there, scary but funny. Everyday joys that we can identify with. I get people to do a laughter journal because there will be some days in your life where things ain't so funny. But if you turn back and you are able to see what your grandson said or your granddaughter said, because kids are the funniest people on earth, children are, and you can reflect back on that. And what that joy does is it allows us to tap back into where our creative mind is, what that allows for us. And I talk a lot about gratitude, you know, finding meaning out of things that, we thought, that didn't feel so good. But when we can get grateful about all the things, the good, the bad, and what we can't see right now, what it does is it shores up our resilience so that in the future, when we're faced with challenges, that we are able to, I got this. Because now we have a foundation, we have something to stand on. The problem is medications have allowed us to do what we've always done. So when we start talking about change, and that's the thing that I heard a lot already, and that's the thing that I want you to know, that yes, change is possible. But we've been indoctrinated into a system that has allowed us to keep doing. I get it all the time. Doctor, what should I do about this? Do you have a medicine for it? Well, any symptom that you bring to any doctor, there is a medicine. But is it going to work? And sometimes yes, sometimes it's part of belief system, sometimes it's placebo, sometimes it actually does do some physiological changes to the body, and sometimes it has some value. But it keeps us in a place, pharmaceuticals like this, keeps us in a place of not changing. Because when you change, you no longer need them. Okay? So as I'm getting my warning, my 2 seconds. No. And a part of this is what I say. Know that everything that has been in place in the healthcare system has maybe not been intentional to manipulate us, but we've been manipulated. And it's just now the world that we live in. We're overworked, overfed, overspent, commercialized, anesthetized by email, voicemail, text mail, snail mail, Google, Gaga, Twitter, Twatter, LinkedIn, checked out. Okay? Snapchat. And you might even be catfished. I don't even know what that means. But I know that they won't be serving cornbread with that. Because that too has been genetically modified. So you have to make the decision, who will I become? And when you know these things in the background, you begin to have a different perspective. So the thing that I ask you is, what is your gut telling you? And are you willing to listen? And I know that most of America is not, because the number three drug prescribed in this country is for digestive complaints. Now, you all know, your mind, body people, you all know the gut. John D. talked about that also. The gut is our source of understanding, source of, you know, where we really get our instincts from is our gut. And we have a disruptive gut right now. So I do a lot of work focusing on gut, and ask me how I know, because I've been through it, you know, the distress, the discord, the discomfort, the dissatisfaction. And where did it land? It landed in my gut with digestive disorders. And I decided I would change, and then it all changed for me. And that's one of the things that I focus on. So if you sign up on the or go on my website, I do have where you can sign up. I've produced a webinar. We're getting ready to finish the company ebook to it. Simple solutions. Everything that I did along the way to simple things. It just means you may not be able to have that cup of coffee in the morning, and certainly not from Starbucks. Okay? So, you know, and so the question I ask, and this is with all of my patients, what in your life are you not stomaching? I don't even ask what you're eating. I don't really care. It's probably the wrong thing. But I ask, what in your life are you not stomaching? That's what gets me to the source of where their problems lie, where the disorder lies, where the discomfort comes from. It's not, oh, here's Prilosec, try that. No. That doesn't get to the source. So I like to get to the source of the problem. The work that you're all doing is showing the world change is possible. And like you, like me, we all get to decide.